Well, as you know, we've been doing a little series about our front lines, the places God has put us to live and work for him. We've seen that God is with us, that we are his elect exiles. He's present with us as we scatter. We've seen him once in all that we do, our word and deed, to do it for Jesus. And today we're going to think a little bit about what it means to be who we are, or who God has called us to be, and how that affects our day-to-day work. Let's watch this video now, and then Mark will come and speak for us.
Evening comes.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honor it is
to work within your plan.
You know my name.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Celebrated.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
Found in you.
My work could not win this gift from you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can call you our Father. And just how amazing that is. It changes everything. Help us to think on that now. Amen. Well, it's been great. I've loved almost 8 years. Each of the pictures here reminds us of often of some of the crazy things that I've been privileged to just enjoy coming alongside you, encouraging you, rejoicing with you, teaching you, praying with you, marrying just and being involved in those Thanksgiving services at the end of life as well. It's been a real joy and brilliant. And if there was one Bible passage, particularly, I think this might be it for me. 1 Corinthians 9:22, you know it. This is the Ashworth translation. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some, even wearing a chicken costume. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. But as I look back, there's been lots that we can celebrate, lots that has been done. But it's not that really matters. It's not that really matters. What really matters is not what we do, but who we are. Because there's going to come a time when I won't be able to do as much as I have done. But it won't change who I am. And that is key. Well, to know that we are children, adopted children of the King of Kings, changes everything. You talk to Charles and Harry and Camilla and Kate, and for all they do and all they're excited to talk about, at the end of the day, it is this lady that has changed everything. It's who they are to the throne. It is who they are in relation to our Queen. And therefore, they cannot escape that identity and the impact that that has on all that they do. It's the reason why they're always in our newspapers and we get to hear the good and the bad and all that goes on. Well, unlike servants and subjects who come to the Queen considering how they may rightly approach with reverence and fear and calling her Her Majesty and family? Family are different, aren't they? Family are different. How different is it that you can come to your mum? Or maybe your dad, or as you come to someone in your family, how much closer is that relationship? How mind-blowing is that to come to the Queen and call her grandma, great-grandma? Of course, Lilibet, George, Archie, Charlotte, Louis, they won't need to have any introduction. They just run to great-grandma with their arms open wide, knowing that grandma will be there delighting in them. Isn't that a great godly grandma, but the right relationship that you have? Well, that is the opportunity and the option that we have. Not that we are subjects to the King of Kings, but we're actually invited to be adopted into the family through Jesus Christ. Now, have you ever thought how mind-blowing that is? Mind-blowing it is. We've moved from enemies. We've moved from enemies to the fact that we're actually now family. How different is that? And how does that affect your day? Well, I took Friday Fun Club the other day. I had 43 kids, just organized chaos, as generally most things are organized by me. And we had two children. Here we go. Kayla, come stand here. Steve, come and stand here. And what I did was this, is I got two children at the front, and then I got Heidi Smith. She was playing God. She's, those of you who know her, she's amazing. And I got her to stand on a chair, and I said to all the children, okay, God gives us sunshine. Okay, do come a little closer. Don't be shy. God gives us sunshine. And God gives us rain, doesn't he? So the question is this. To the naughty one, what do you give? And to the good one, what do you give? And of course, they all shouted out. Who do you give the sunshine to? There you go, give the sunshine to. And who do you give the rain to? The naughty one. But you know that that's not right, don't you? You know that that's not right. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that our Father in heaven, God, the great creator, makes the sun shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. So the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous too. You may go to sit down, thank you. There's your illustration. You see, God challenges us to love the unlovely. Have you ever realized how other God is, how different he is from you? If I was God, I'd fall into the same trap. God is so much more loving, so much more kind, so much more. And that's to everyone, for the sun shines on all of us, righteous and unrighteous. And knowing that this is the God that we are now called his children, doesn't that take you into another level of relationship and love that says, I'm not just a subject of his in his kingdom where he is blessing the righteous and the unrighteous. I'm adopted as a child, and I can call him my father. It changes everything. So as we read this oh so familiar prayer, can we just stop for a minute and grasp the enormity of what we are doing? This radical transformation. The Spirit doesn't make us slaves. We've gone from slavery and fear. Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit now allows us to call Abba Father. It is shocking. And so no wonder Romans 8 as well tells us, 8:38 reminds us, I'm convinced that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Of course, we've been given the right to become children of God. So our identity as adopted children is so much greater than just being acquitted by a judge. Well, we went to a talk the other day, and adoption is mind-blowingly the greatest gift that God can give any of us. To be chosen and called to be a part of his family. And so this has a big impact on our front lines. Turn with me back into the Bible passage that we looked at earlier on, Matthew 6. And what is so familiar, I just want to touch on again, in a fresh way, thinking how different it is. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this week, as we are on our front lines, with our family, with our friends, with our neighbours, with all those that we come into contact with, how this prayer changes. Firstly, as you're on your front line, pray, Our Father in heaven. Your identity is you're part of the family. And God is your Father. Have you ever thought about that amazing moment when your grandchild comes up to you and shows you your drawing, which basically you're not quite sure what it is, because all it is just a bit of a scribble, but it's given in love. Do you think the Queen turns to her great-grandchildren and goes, well, go and do that again? I don't even know what it is. Of course not. Any of the efforts that are given and offered are greatly received and praised and delighted in. Have you thought that that might be you to God? Well, probably times a billion times, because he is so much greater. That is what we offer God. A little scribbling, a little picture. It's probably nowhere near as good as it could be. Yeah, and it's our offering, and he delights in us. He delights in all that we have. So as we call out, as we pray our Father, he loves your scribbles. He loves your scribbles. Anything that you give in thanks to him, he loves it. Secondly, again reading, it says, hallowed be your name. And this, I hadn't thought so much, hallowed be your name. Do you know what? Your name is his name. That's what happens when you get adopted into the family. The family name becomes your name. So as you pray, hallowed be your name, you're actually asking for your family, your name of your family, to be represented well. Hallowed, honoured. Don't we want that? Doesn't the Queen want that with her family? Don't we all want that? And yet this is God. We are part of his family. Hallowed be your name. So God has co-opted us into what is the family business. We're part of that family. And it's not just local. It's not just here in Crowborough. It's St. John's in Vancouver. It's global. It's global. And so our daily context that we find ourselves in will be as representatives of the family, whether we want to or not, whether paparazzi are there taking photographs or not, we will be representing the family. Back in the prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you realized that this prayer is a radical prayer? Have you spotted that? Not only just because we call God our Father, but because you're praying for change. That you want God's kingdom to come. You're praying that things would change. And it's going to challenge the safety, security, and the comfort that often we want to just have. No change is always easiest. But actually, we're praying for change, that God's kingdom would come, his will would be done. Of course, when this prayer was given This is the Jewish people were in an oppressed, to some extent, kind of situation. They weren't in charge. The Romans were. So as you think about them as they prayed God's kingdom come, they knew what it was like to live under or with foreign enemies abounding. We do the same as the evil one is trying to lead us and distract us and hinder us. But through Jesus, we declare your kingdom come. And that can be anywhere that you go. For God is king in your workplace. God is king in your home. God is king everywhere. It's whether we acknowledge him there or not. The prayer carries on and says, give us today our daily bread. Praying for daily bread is a reminder that we need to daily rely on him. And how our lives battle to not rely on him. We love to be self-sufficient. We want to be grown up, don't we? And not dependent on someone else. That's not what God wants us to do. Quite the opposite. He wants us to be dependent on him, to come to him. It's a challenge to all of us who especially want to feel like we're in control. And then this next little section, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We're praying for yesterday's mistakes, for there will be some. We're praying, invited by Jesus, to pray in a way that recognizes that there will be stuff that we'll do wrong. There'll be stuff that isn't honoring to God in the way that we would love it to be. There'll be ways in which we let God down and ourselves down and others down. But we know that. And so therefore we're asking to be forgiven, and we're going to forgive others, for we have been forgiven in God. Jesus breaks that cycle of failure and forgiveness between us and God and between each other. And then the last part of this prayer, praying for work and our walk tomorrow. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, we need to be aware that as we are going out into the world, there is an enemy that wants to war against and battle against us. There will be times of testing. We will be provoked. We need to pray for protection and deliverance. We need to make sure that we don't go to our front lines alone, but with the powerful, protecting, life-giving presence of God with us by his Spirit. So as we go to our front lines, the danger will be that we will want to try harder. Actually, what we need to do is to remember our Father and allow the resurrection power of God to work in us and through us. For whether we feel like our day was constructive or great, our Father will smile because he will have been with us through it all. Let's remember our identity as children, adopted children of the King of Kings. So let's go to our places of work, to our homes, our houses, our neighbours, and pray this simple prayer, knowing that God loves us so much more than we can ever imagine, and he loves everybody that we meet so much more than we can ever grasp. May we be about the Father's business, glorifying him forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can always be about your business. We are adopted children of you. Thank you for those of us who've put our faith and our trust in you. That adoption is mind-blowing, but I'm aware there might be some who, as they hear of this, they know that this isn't them. They know that actually they haven't. They haven't been adopted into your family. They haven't come to you and asked for forgiveness of their sins and turned to Jesus Christ on the cross and said, please, Please take away my sin that I may be adopted into the family. Gracious God, hear our prayer and send us out that we may honour you, praying for your kingdom to come wherever we are on our front lines, now and forevermore. Amen.